This is CliffCentral.com.
Let's turn our attention to the important news of the day. These are the five things you need to know. It's brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. Well, what's behind Jacob Zuma's latest cabinet reshuffle? Desperation to put through the 1 trillion rand nuclear deal and gutfulness with SACP leader Bladen Zimande's criticism of his leadership ahead of the ANC's elective conference. Well, those are probably the main reasons behind it, according to Adrian Basson of News 24. The real question most people are asking is, how did Faith Mutambi, Batabile Dlamini, and man-child Fikile Mbalula keep their jobs? In other news, Harry Nell is going after Duduzane Zuma for the death of a woman in a car accident in 2014. The state at that time declined to prosecute, but AfriForum say his negligence led directly to her death. The Zumas have never offered to help the family of this woman that they killed. Phumzile Dube was her name. Nell says, we're all equal before the law. My lady.
Huh.
Yeah. And Julius says that firing Blade was really good, but that the president should actually have reshuffled someone else. Do you want to hear who he thought he should reshuffle?
Yeah.
Blade has been useless as a minister of education. There's nothing communist Blade has done. There's nothing socialist Blade has done. There's nothing left Blade has done as a minister of education. So, in as much as we reject this reshuffle of cabinet, we welcome Blade's removal. It's a good thing. But Zuma should have reshuffled himself as well. It would have been more nicer.
So there we go. Julius, as articulate as ever, saying the president should have reshuffled himself. And finally, a news reporter from the BBC has reported on the royal family truthfully. Listen to this guy. His name is Simon McCoy. He doesn't think it's news that Kate Middleton is birthing another royal puppet. Do you want to hear what he had to say?
Uh-oh.
This sounds amazing.
Yeah, listen.
Just got this coming in from Kensington Palace, news we just got. Their Royal Highnesses, the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, are delighted to confirm they are expecting a baby in April. Now, bearing in mind they announced that she was pregnant back in September, and it was thought she was around 2 or 3 months pregnant. I'm not sure how much news this really is. But anyway, it's April, so clear your diaries, get the time booked off, because that's what I'm doing. And, well, anyway, that news just coming in from Kensington Palace. You're watching Afternoon Live.
Couldn't give a damn, right? Isn't that great?
Classic.
And just one last thing. The world's most useless airport opened this week when the first flight touched down in?
North Korea?
St. Helena. A remote island most famous for hosting Napoleon during his final years of captivity.
Why is that the most useless?
Because we don't need an airport there, and it's cost a fortune, and there are only about 10 people who need to go there any given time.
But what if they're really rich?
Well, then they could take a boat or a yacht.
Rich people like to fly, Gareth.
The flight from Johannesburg officially welcomed St. Helena to the 21st century on Saturday, and people that were there were so excited. It's called the world's most useless airport. Look it up.
That's
the five things you need to know today. Let's get to Ben and see what's going on in the sport. It's, of course, brought to you the news by Colcacchio's Pizzeria, where we all like to go and we all like to eat, even Ben and Amanda, who are sometimes at loggerheads when it comes to the food thing. Let's get to it, Ben.
Yesterday I told you that Klopp's cock was on the chopping block.
Yes, I remember
well,
that.
Liverpool 7, Maribor 0.
Uh-huh.
What an emphatic display. A turnaround display of just character. 7 goals. Now, Maribor, prior to this match, they are Slovenian, I think. They've been pretty handy against the English opposition, but Klopp's charges went out there. 7 goals. That's just everyone had a go, really. So that means that they finally get some sort of success in the Champions League. They've had a very slow start to the tournament. And 7 goals. I don't care who you're playing against this level. 7. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. I tell you what's also pretty amazing is the fact that Spurs went to Real Madrid and did not lose. They drew 1-1. 2 penalties in this match. Ronaldo got one. And then Varane got another one. So that's a real big thing for Spurs, because now they are tied with Real Madrid at the top of that group. Monaco. still have no idea what's happened to Monaco. At home, they lost to the Besiktas. The Turkish side went there and won 2-1. Monaco was so good last year. I know they've lost Mbappe, that 18-year-old wonder super kid striker, someone. But, come on, they're absolutely nowhere. Leipzig beat Porto 3-2. Very good result for them. Apul drew with Borussia Dortmund 1-1. And that means that Borussia Dortmund, who are the current German champions, the Bundesliga champions, they may not make it to the next round. What an absolutely massive surprise, Gareth. And then Spartak Moscow, they won 5-1 against Sevilla. Another huge, huge Champions League result for them, because that Spanish team is far from terrible. And speaking of very, very good as well, is Man City. They beat Napoli 2-1, but it could have been 5-0 in the first half hour. They're just rampant, this team. They really are. Napoli, to their credit, did fight back, but 2-1 in result there. And Feyenoord, who are pretty crap at this level, they lost to Shakhtar Donetsk. So tonight, if none of those were your favorite teams, tonight we've got Karabakh. They'll take on Atletico Madrid.
Wow, there's a lot of teams here I've never heard of.
6 o'clock. Well, the opening stages of this are very much like the opening stages of any Grand Slam tennis tournament. You get a lot of Eastern European names you'll never hear again. And then ultimately the ones you do recognize later on. So tonight, 6 o'clock South African time, Karabakh will take on Atletico Madrid. Chelsea will then host Roma at 8:45, which is the time for all of these games from here on in. Anderlecht will take on PSG, the high-flying PSG, who everybody just talks about nowadays because they've got Neymar, they score goals, they've got money, blah, 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 blah. Barcelona will host Olympiacos. CSKA Moscow will take on Basel. Benfica hosting Man United, who are looking to obviously maintain their strong form this season so far. Juventus will take on Sporting, and then Bayern Munich will take on Celtic. Celtic had a big win last time around, and Bayern Munich, well, they're still settling with a new manager. There was local football as well last night. Sundowns, they were looking to beat Chiefs, but they didn't do it. Nope. At Loftus Versfeld, in front of a crowd that no rugby game has managed to generate this year. Mamelodi Sundowns went down 2-1 to Kaizer Chiefs. Yeah. Injury addled Kaizer Chiefs with a big win there against Pitsa Matsumani's team. Cape Town City, they lost to Blum Celtic. Oh, tough couple of days there for Cape Town City. I think Benny McCarthy's starting to see how difficult this managing gig really is. Tonight, we'll see a lot more football from the local frontier. All 7:30 tonight, Chippa United, Maritzburg United, Free State Stars, Ajax Cape Town, Pirates versus Platinum Stars, Baroka versus Golden Arrows, AmaZulu versus Polokwane City. So, if you're a football fan, wow, have the last 5 minutes been something for you. In American sports, Colin Kaepernick, remember who he was? Is? Still is? Yes? No?
He's the guy who went down on one knee for the national anthem during the NFL games.
Yes, Gareth.
He's got the big afro.
He was the first guy to really do it.
Right.
Really, really amazing stuff. And from there, he sent shockwaves across the sporting world. And people started to follow on his example. So from there, it became a massive thing. Donald Trump got really angry. And now it's like, well, the NFL has to have talks with the teams. But Colin Kaepernick was not invited to these talks. He was the guy that started it. He was not invited to these reconciliation talks. There was outrage by the players believing he should be there as well.
Can I just say that I don't think we should even be doing the national anthem at sports events. I understand where it started. Do you know where it began?
I heard it began like in 2009. Well, in football, American
football. When did we start doing the anthem at sports events?
It's a very good question, Gareth. Probably around war times, because
Correct.
People had to be very patriotic. Like,
right. Look, so during war, you wanted to field the fittest young men to go to the army to fight for your country. And the people who stayed behind needed to know that the country was at war. And yes. And so they sang the anthem almost in tribute to the people who were sacrificing their lives on the front.
This is smart.
Interestingly enough, I was watching an interview. There was this roundtable around American football, and they said the American national anthem came back around 2009 because they wanted these great big football players who a lot of young people idolize to spur up patriotism again.
Well, they've been doing the national anthems ever since World War I and II.
Yeah.
Right? Especially in America. And some countries don't sing their national anthem at sport, but because of things like the World Cup or whatever, it gives you a chance to hear what the national anthems of these various different countries are.
And in that respect, it's nice and ornamental and cool.
Sure.
But NFL is American teams playing. I mean, you've got Kansas versus Louisiana. Why must we hear an anthem?
Right.
Oh, it's. I mean, it's
I don't
so,
think you need
it's so
this.
Tiresome.
I don't care about national anthems at sports events. I don't care about sports events, so I'm different to everybody else. But I don't think combining the two is ever a good idea.
Yes, Gareth, you have to keep reminding us that you are like ISIS. But basically, national anthems, I think, are stupid. They're crap songs that old white men drew up hundreds of years ago. And they're such a waste of time a lot of the time. And then people sing them, and then they butcher them, and then there's outrage. I think we just got to drop national anthems. Like, I get it if you're playing in a World Cup final and or a national team, but not like under-19 South Africa taking on under-19 Gabon.
They don't start singing the national anthem when they're doing Dancing with the Stars.
They're all shit songs, except for the Sri Lankan national anthem I love. But that, again, is because it sounds like Sesame Street for Sri Lanka. So it makes me giggle. It's about 5 minutes too long.
You know, I'm now making a note of that. I have to listen to it later. Oh,
it's hilarious, Sri Lankan national anthem. But I agree with you. This whole national anthem bollocks, it's just ruining everything because it's making people,
it's making sport even more political. And if there's any country in the world that could talk about how political sports become and how badly it's affected sport, it's us.
Yeah.
So I'm saying to America, with peace and love, don't go down this road.
Don't do it. I totally agree
with
you.
Quit the national anthem. Just quit that whole thing at the beginning of sports event. Nobody who's there came for the national anthem.
I didn't, and no one else did. I tell you where you can hear a national anthem today. It'll be in Paarl, because South Africa will be taking on Bangladesh in the second ODI match there, of which you can go and mumble your way through that if you're there. It's a daytime game, so it'll start at 10 o'clock here, SA time in the morning. Bangladesh, pretty crap. South Africa, very confident.
All right.
I guess that's pretty much it for the sports. I mean, we can talk about rugby from tomorrow. The Curry Cup semi-finals are being played. The BOC squad for the end of year tour will be announced after the Curry Cup final, which will be the weekend after. So, not a lot of rugby to talk on. But one more thing I will leave you with. If you want to see something very cringe, like hardcore, what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to play it. Gareth's going to watch it, and he's going to react.
Uh-oh.
Now, what you must do is you must Google Gordon Hayward Celtics. Gareth.
Gordon Hayward Celtics.
You're going to be the guinea pig here.
Is this someone who gets hurt?
Gordon Hayward Celtics. So the NBA's back on.
Okay, there's a bunch of basketball players. They're running around the field. Celtics. Oh, sweet Jesus.
Oh, no. What happened?
The man's foot is twisted.
Oh, what?
Imagine the foot is at right angles
you gotta watch it.
To where it should be. In other words, instead of pointing straight ahead, it is at 90 degrees to the right.
He jumps up, he falls down, and then his leg buckles. But the most incredible thing was...
Holy shit.
So he plays for the Celtics. Celtics playing against the Cavaliers, LeBron James' team.
Wow.
He goes down. The entire bench of the Cavaliers runs away. They are so freaked out. They physically get out of their seats, and they run away because they can't take what they just saw.
Mm. Oh.
The players scatter.
Oh.
Many players drop down to a knee to pray for the guy instantly. That is how hardcore it is. Fans are turning away. If you like watching that stuff, go ahead. Gordon Hayward, broken leg for the Celtics.
All right, here is the Sri Lankan national anthem Ben was talking about that he says sounds like Sesame Street. Let's take a listen.
It's about 30 minutes long. Sri Lanka, okay, this is the bastardized version.
All right, that's ridiculous.
I like that. Basically, you can't sing that with a straight face.
There aren't any other words that they loop that for about 10 minutes.
Right. What a terrible song.
But with the full instruments, it's amazing.
All right, let's get to Sia and find out what kinds of positive messages we need to put out into the world today and what positive messages the world has for us. Go ahead, Sia.
Here's a very heartwarming story for you this morning. I want to introduce you to the ICU grandpa. His name is David, and he is a hospital volunteer. He's a very old man who now says, well, I don't necessarily have much to do in my day, so I'm going to go about and try to spread my own little kindness where I can. So he visits the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta Hospital every Tuesday and Thursday. Do you know what to do? What? Grab some tissues for this. To hold babies who are in hospital and whose parents parents can't be with them that day. So he came to light actually when one of these parents actually walked in, and at first, you know, you live in 2017, you'd be kind of startled.
Like, what is
to
this
see
creepy old exactly man doing holding my child?
Like, it's kind of weird. And this is like, you know, a little premature baby. Uh-huh. But when she found out the backstory to this and the fact that he's been doing this for 12 years and the hospital knows him, she just had to take a picture and share it on social media. So this is Logan's mother. She says, as she fought back the happy tears, she posted this on Facebook, and she says, "This photo was taken by me as I fought back my happy tears. Logan, her child, has been in hospital for 6 weeks, and every night I would leave and go home to take care of the rest of the family, and every morning I'd have to go back to hospital feeling very anxious that, like, my child has probably missed me. And on this particular morning, I walked into the hospital to find Logan, who's a premature baby who was born at just 25 weeks, mm-hmm. in the arms of David, who smiled and introduced himself as the ICU grandpa. And this photo captures just one precious moment with the legend of a hospital volunteer who's been holding patients and their parents' hands for 12 years. I think this is so, so awesome. So many of the parents who met David in the hospital are also commenting on the Facebook post to thank him for his love and kindness.
Well, you must post that picture up on our Instagram account.
I think that's awesome. Yeah, we'll definitely share that. You know, one parent says, "He rocked our baby for countless hours. What a wonderful gift he has, and what a blessing it is that he shares that love with others." And another says, another says, "David took care of our Miss Madeline when she was in ICU. He is the greatest, and we are very thankful for his kindness." So what I like about this is, like, you know, so often we think, sometimes, you know, just being kind is this great grand gesture. We have to spend money, or we have to really go above and beyond. Yeah. But this is a thing, you know, this old man says,
"The greatest gift you have is your time."
Is that a song? I don't know.
No, it's just it's a saying. You know all the songs. Yeah.
Exactly.
It is. It's you know, if someone is prepared to, anyone, even if you've got 5 rand in the bank, you could write a check for 1 rand. That's 1/5 of what you own. It's a gesture.
It can make a difference to someone.
But
yeah,
to spend your time with someone, that's a non-renewable resource. If you actually go and spend a little bit of time with some kids, with old people, with people who need something done that they can't do for themselves, you know, people who are physically disabled, mentally disabled, those are the kind of things that are more appreciated by those people. Because I know somebody, for example, who goes to old age homes and just plays the piano.
See?
And they love it. They love it. These old people start singing along.
Where they often feel neglected and alone.
Because most people who come there are like, "Oh, God, I have to go and visit the old people." But this woman actually goes around. She plays the piano for these old folks. And she loves it. And they love it. And they're so happy to see her every week. And obviously every week there's less and less of them.
Oh.
Yeah, so some of them die. But she goes and she plays the piano for them. And I think that that's really special. She's spending her time and showing off her ability to play music and making it work for these people. I think it's terrific.
And you think about it, of course, hospitals aren't the most happiest of places in the world. So any sort of difference will make a big difference, actually, ultimately. So kudos on the ICU grandpa this morning.
All right, very nice. Somebody says that the West Indies anthem is one that is worth hearing. They say that it should be played everywhere. It's apparently the best. The West Indies cricket anthem. So it's not a national anthem because there isn't a nation of the West Indies. This one.
Yeah, it's like a bad 80s sitcom theme.
Yeah, the opening sequence of a sitcom.
Yeah. No, no, well, you know your family lives in this house.
Yeah.
But through it all, oh my God. We have risen
above.
Wow, it's bad.
Oh.
All right.
It just needs the horns in the background.
I love it. It is so good.
Now, here's something interesting. This is from someone who has some criticism for the way I've changed the 5 stories that you need to start your day. "Gareth, your 5 most important stories in the morning is missing the point. I think your team discussions of these stories is what makes your show awesome. With you doing it, there are no discussions. I like the discussion and debate." Well, look, first of all, my buddy's not here today. So there's no other way we could have done it. But I wanted to change it because then people can get a 2-minute podcast which will fill you in on all the things you need to know. You could just subscribe to that and then you'd have all the news.
And then the discussions we still have after 7.
Yeah, we still have the news after 7, so don't panic. You're not going to lose anything. I'm introducing something new here. Hey guys, I have two good friends. When I have drinks with them, separately they talk smack about the other one who isn't there. I'd expect this of girls, but these two are guys. Probably talking smack about me too.
Yeah, two, they're definitely talking smack about you.
Friends.
So there's three of them.
Uh-huh.
This one who's messaged me.
Mm-hmm. Says he's caught in the middle.
No.
Oh.
He says that whenever he's with person A, they say bad things about person B. And whenever he's with person B, they say horrible things about person A. So he reckons both A and B, when they're together, talk about him, C, and say horrible things.
So why are person A and B even friends then, if they talk smack about each other?
You know, people are stupid.
You tell me you don't talk smack about people.
Yeah, definitely do.
And you're still friends
do
with them.
You know, definitely. We had this conversation with some friends a while ago, and I thought, like, I... No.
What?
That, no, like, it's... I don't want to have you in my life then, if I just think you're a horrible person. I'll just cut you out and not talk to you.
All right, here's something
it's
interesting.
It's very petty, but that's...
I don't have any advice for you, dude.
No.
If people start talking... I don't like gossip. So when people start gossiping around me, I just leave the room.
Yeah.
I'm not interested. I don't care about this. I don't live in a soap opera. I want to hear about this one lied to that one, and you know that this one's been cheating on that one behind their back. I mean, two of our very good friends on the show have decided to separate in the last week or two.
Oh, no. Uh-huh.
Yeah, Unati and Thomas Msangano.
Oh, right. I was like, separated?
Thomas and Unati Msangano have decided to separate. And I'm not the kind of person who thinks that's news. That's their private business. And I love Unati to pieces. She's been a good friend of mine, and I sent her a message. But you know what? None of my business.
Mm-hmm.
And then I heard just the other day that Zwei and Melanie, Bala, are also separating. And I thought those two marriages were rock solid. So if you're the kind of person who believes in marriage, and I like marriage, you know that. I like the idea of marriage. I think it's a very good institution. It keeps people happy. It helps you to raise kids together. But it does seem that more and more, the idea of a really good marriage is becoming an impossibility in modern society. I don't know for whatever reason. I don't know the details of Unati and Thomas's split. And again, it's none of my business. I don't know Mel and Zwei's split. None of my business. But I don't know that it's possible. First of all, we live way too long to stay together forever.
Yeah.
We do. Humans just live. We never used to live this long. You'd be dead at 50 if it was 200, 300 years ago. And if you'd been married for 30 years, let's say you got married at 20, that's enough. A lot of people just get sick of each other. And then there's also the pressures of social media and of work and of society and of sleep and of children and everything else. So we're all feeling it. Don't beat yourself up.
And if you're in the public eye, all the things you just mentioned times and by 10, because these social pressures and temptations and people who are actually just looking to ruin things for you.
Have you ever had couple friends who made you choose a side?
Never, ever fall for that either. Because when they get back together, you're the enemy.
Yeah.
Always, if someone breaks up with a girlfriend or boyfriend, even if you hate the one, don't choose sides. Don't say to the one, it was her fault or his fault. You're asking for a world of pain, because you know what's going to happen. Like a good friend of mine, this guy, he dated a girl for a long time. I thought they were awesome as a couple. I liked them both. Then they broke up, sort of towards the end of last year. Then she went to visit him the other day. They're engaged.
Ah, okay. Don't play with my odds.
No. So I'm really, listen, I'm pleased that I didn't choose sides. And I'm pleased that I've never said a shit thing to him about her or a shit thing to her about him. They're both awesome people. I'm happy they're back together. If they didn't get back together, that would have been fine too. It's none of my business. Right? Now imagine if I'd gone and I'd said to her, oh, I'm so glad that you two have broken up. He was such a liar and a cheat and a scoundrel and a bastard. Imagine if I'd gone to him and said, oh, she was such a bitch and she hated your friends and she was all full of herself. Imagine then how hard it would have been for me to be friends with both of them now. So now I'm chilled. But there are probably people who chose sides.
Yeah.
And now those people are stuck.
Yeah, and then they've got to, like, lie, then go to the wedding.
Oh, yes. Well, they probably won't go to the wedding because they're now hated by both parties, right? Yeah,
but they need friends to smile at them on their special day because it's all about them.
Ooh, I'm trying not to be that person. But my natural reaction is to just support you. Of course he's horrible. Let's burn his clothes now.
Well, you see, that's the problem.
And that lands you in the crapper. Yeah, hasn't he yet?
Richard
he
Quest spoke to Malusi Gigaba.
Oh.
So we're going to listen to that after 7 o'clock and break it down. We'll get into some news. We'll speak to Louise Brumberg, who's just got back from Korea. And we will also talk about Global Hand Washing Day, which I know it sounds dreary, but when you are obsessed with hygiene and you wash your hands the whole time like I do, it's something to think about. We're going to ask you to do one thing this morning. I'll tell you about that in a little while as well. So there's plenty to talk about. So guys, what are your thoughts on degrees? Who has degrees in the studio? What's the relevance? I'm not talking about doctors and lawyers, obviously. I have my regular BA degree. I'm pursuing my honors, but I'd literally rather shit in my hands and clap them than study for another year to complete them. I'm hoping this is the right decision for my life and we could always pursue it later. I think we've got an obsession with degrees in this country. I think we are horribly obsessed with people who need tertiary qualifications. And you know how many people I know who have degrees are sitting out there without jobs. I think it has less. I never look at a degree. If someone comes here for a job, the last thing I'm interested in is whether or not they have a degree. Amanda, you don't have a degree, right? Nope. Sia, you don't have a degree?
No.
Ben?
But both of us are actually in the process of studying.
Yeah, but Gareth, it depends on what you want to do in life.
I think it's great.
You can't blanket this.
Don't get me wrong, but I it's not the most important thing when hiring somebody. That's the truth.
For basic employment, no, of course not. But if you want to do something of substance in a special field,
well, then you have to be qualified in that field. I get that. But it's everybody's thing. I have a regular BA degree, says this person. I'm pursuing my honors. Now, you see, that's not going to be the difference between you blowing up the laboratory or inventing a cure for cancer, because it's a BA degree, and I don't mean to poo-poo BA degrees. I studied one myself. All I will say is that if it's not turning you on and you're not passionate about it right now, you can always go back and do it later.
I think there are like two aspects of it from my side. The first is what my mother always like drilled into me, which is it's something to fall back on.
Yeah, I hate that though. But your parents are just trying. Yeah. What they're really doing is they're giving themselves
There's doubt in that. Well,
they're saying, like, if Sia gets this degree, it'll mean he's at least a little less needy and won't be staying at home forever. That's what they're saying.
Or I really don't think he might, you know, be able to commit 100% to what he wants to do.
I don't think Sia's going to do so well at job A.
Exactly.
So B will be the university degree.
But then B, what I also learned from someone who's in a managerial position and looks into prospective employees when, you know, at this company, they said, despite whatever you studied, just having a degree also says to them that you were disciplined enough, you committed to something, you were diligent. You know, so it also speaks to your character. Whether you have a degree in, I don't know, landscaping, which was an 8-week course, at least you stuck it through, you expanded your mind. So I don't know. Depends.
Yeah, I think whatever that's works for you. Everybody here has made good points. I can't argue with any of them. However, there's this from somebody, again, anonymous. Unati said in her last interview on your show, quote, marriage is amazing, sex is amazing, couldn't stop talking about how awesome her marriage was. Lies, lies, lies.
That's not lies, things change.
Exactly.
How do you know?
Why must we label someone so quickly? We
don't even know what's going on. Lies, lies,
how do you know?
Bring her back here.
Let me tell you
something. I want my time back.
Yeah, she might have been very happily married up to 3 days ago, for all you know. And they could have had an argument about something. It could have had to do with the kids. It could have had to do with money. It could have had to do with jobs. It could have had to be something that they disagreed on fundamentally about the reasons for life. It could have been religious. You don't know.
But another thing with humans.
You don't know. It's not a lie.
And I think we should be open to the fact that things change. and the state of our relationship might change. You know, at first we might be lovers
Thank you. Now we're just parents.
And actually, I think now we're better off as friends. These things are fluid. And I might be wrong, but I think Unathi just went on the record to say that they are separated, that they aren't exactly divorced just yet,
or divorcing. Yeah, and she also said bitches be bitches.
They're
hunting Thomas, and she says sometimes that gets a bit tiring.
Whatever the reasons, there you go. And I don't think anyone needs to speculate.
This is CliffCentral.com.